We're looking at the God story through the eyes of Jesus. We're going to be talking about this topic of how Jesus looks at the law through the Bible, through the biographies of Jesus. First off, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of Mortal Kombat, not the video game. I'm talking about politics. It's interesting how in Canadian politics today, it has become a little bit like Mortal Kombat. You know what? All the different political parties, when it comes down to it, their goal in Canada is that they want the best for Canada. They want Canada to flourish. How they see that happening can be very different ways. Each political party sees a different road for the end result, and that is to see Canada flourish. And sometimes it's like that with our enemies. You can absolutely disagree with someone, and someone could kind of be your enemy. We don't usually use that word today, but those are the words that Jesus would use about our enemies. At the end of the day, we want the same thing, but how we see that happening can be two totally different directions. When we look at the life of Jesus, and you think of the enemies of Jesus, who were those enemies? The enemies were the Pharisees. The enemies were those who were the religious leaders of the day. And they were always, if you read through the biographies of Jesus in the Bible, they're always squaring off. There always seems to be some sort of controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees, between Jesus and the religious leaders. They end up kind of being like mortal enemies in Scripture. At the end of the day, though, they both want the same thing. They want the kingdom of God to come. They want God to be glorified. They want good things to happen. But how that's going to happen are very, very different. If you read through the biographies of Jesus, the big topic that Jesus is constantly bumping up against with the religious leaders is this topic of Sabbath. Now, Sabbath might be a word that you're not 100% familiar with, because it's not a word that we use a lot today, but it was this idea from the Old Testament, came from like the Ten Commandments, of this idea of setting aside one day or one 24-hour period of rest that God commanded. So for a Jewish person in the Old Testament, what that looked like was Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. That was considered a day. For us, when we think a day, we think differently. But for them, it was Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. That was the Sabbath. And a Sabbath was a period of time where they weren't supposed to do any work. It was a period of time where they were supposed to get rest, where they were supposed to honor God. It was never meant to be a heavy, but actually it was a revolutionary idea for them. For us to understand the Sabbath, we have to go way back into the Old Testament and understand where the people of Israel, where these Jewish people came from. Their identity was set in the story of the Exodus. These were a people that had been under slavery for a really, really long time. They were slaves in Egypt. And if you know anything about slavery, most slaves don't really get a day off. They were used to working day in and day out, probably Saturday to Sunday. There's probably a really good chance that maybe they would get a day off here and there randomly. But chances are, those are few and far between. And they knew what it was to just work yourself to the bone. And many of you know the story of them coming, God rescuing them out of slavery, bringing them into a place of freedom. He rescues them out of slavery and he brings them into the wilderness. He takes them to this place called Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to this mountain, and he receives these laws. Some of the laws we're really aware of, like the Ten Commandments, but there were all sorts of other laws. And sometimes as Christians or for people in the modern day world, we look at these laws, they seem incredibly archaic. They seem somewhat out of touch. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding them, but these laws were given to people who literally lived 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, and it was given to them to help them to flourish in their world and in their setting. And one of those laws was this idea of Sabbath, of taking off for a day of rest. And God was like, man, I care about you. I know where you come from. I know your identity. And I'm going to teach you a different way. I'm going to teach you a different way. Now, if you're used to going, 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 it's actually hard to stop. When I look on this crowd, I know there's all sorts of different personalities here. Some of you here are goers, and you have a hard time sitting still. The idea of like not working for a full day, you're like, I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. When you have a day off, maybe you get 2 days off a week. For you, it's like there's a million other things to do, right? It's like the laundry needs to get done. The lawn needs to get mowed. The bills need to get paid. There's all these errands that you need to do. There's dishes to wash. There's food to make and everything like that. And you're saying, how do I do that? How do I do that? Last week, Pastor Nathan talked a little bit about Sabbath, and he said, we are tired. We're tired. We may only work 40 hours a week, but at the end of those 40 hours and the weekend hits, you're tired, and yet you can't stop. There's so much to do. The idea of the Sabbath in the Old Testament wasn't just about getting rest, but it was a time to set aside to honor God, to say at the end of the day, all of the things that I need are not provided by me and my work. It's provided by you, God. Because if you're in that gear of needing to, you see all the things that you have to do and you just can't slow down, who are you relying on? Most of the time we rely on ourselves. We rely on our ability to get things done. And for a slave 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, the idea of like setting aside 24 hours where they weren't going to work, they weren't going to do anything, was unbelievable to them. Who's going to provide? How is it that I stop? And God is saying, I want you to stop for a full 24 hours. I want you to honor me in that I'm going to fully provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. I want you to honor me and recognize who created all of this. Who created you? I want you to know who I am. It was about identity, not just about what you do. And so we see that the nation of Israel was supposed to live this out. Now, if you read through the Bible much, you'll recognize that actually, they rarely actually followed the commandments. You'd hope that they would. But the story shows us in the Old Testament that they really, really struggled to do this. They struggled to do all sorts of things, including keeping the Sabbath that God gave for them. He's like, man, I want to bless you guys with this. And even that they had a hard time doing. And they walked away from relationship with God. And eventually God basically said, he held up his hands and he said, okay, I'm taking my hand of protection off of you. And as he did that, he allowed the nation of Babylon at the time to come in and conquer them and take them off and move them away from their homeland. Not as slaves, but as exiles. The reality is that God's heart in the Old Testament, in the law, in the Torah, was that he wanted to shape them to be a people that were guided and directed by him, that their hearts were shaped by him. But the reality is that for the nation of Israel, they were actually more shaped by their culture around them than they ever were by God. I want you to hear that for a minute. Because this is something from thousands of years ago, but it's very relevant for us today. God wanted to shape them. And part of the Old Testament Torah, we call it the law, but you know that you can actually interpret Torah as instruction? When we think of law, we think of something really hard and fast and something that's going to throw you in jail. The Torah can be interpreted as instruction. God wanted to give them instruction. He wanted to shape them into a people that were very different from the cultures around them. They struggled with that. They were really more shaped by the culture around them than they were by God. And we struggle with that today too. We're thousands of years past that. But the reality is that most of the time, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we're more shaped by culture than we are by God, than we are by Scripture. And even in this concept of like Sabbath is something that like we struggle with so bad. To honor God in that way. And so I want to take you guys to a prophet named Ezekiel. Ezekiel lived during a time when he's in Babylon. He's one of the exiles. And he's writing about their exile from a perspective of living it. And he says, this is the voice of God. It's Ezekiel chapter 20, and it starts in verse 10. He says, so I brought them, referring to Israel, out of Egypt and led them. Is there a scripture on the, there we go. And led them into the wilderness. There I gave them my decrees and regulations so they could find life by keeping them. And I gave them my Sabbath days of rest as a sign between them and me. It was to remind them that I am the Lord who had set them apart to be holy. But the people of Israel rebelled against me and they refused to obey my decrees there in the wilderness. They wouldn't obey my regulations even though obedience would have given them life. They also violated my Sabbath days. You can see the heart of God coming through Ezekiel where he's saying, I gave this to them so they would find life. They'd find life. I gave these to them so they would be reminded that I am the Lord. That is like the heart of Sabbath, is that we would have life and they'd be reminded that God is the Lord. Israel ends up in captivity for 70 years, and eventually the Babylonians are defeated by the Persians. And a new Persian king comes on the scene and he's like, you know, all you Jewish people, you guys can start going back to your homeland. I don't need to keep you here. And so you have this trickling effect of Jewish people heading back to Israel, heading back to Jerusalem. And as they come back, you get to the end of the Old Testament, you have Ezra and Nehemiah, and they're trying to build their temple again, they're trying to put things back together again. Then there's a 400 years before Jesus shows up. And in these 400 years before Jesus shows up, the Jewish people are trying to figure out, who are we? And what does it look like for us to follow the Old Testament law again? Because we know our ancestors didn't do it, and it turned out really, really bad. So for us to like live here in Israel, for us to know the blessing of God, we need to figure out what it looks like for us to live out this Old Testament law. Now, as you know, if you've read the Bible yourself, one of the complicated aspects of it is that when you're hundreds or maybe even thousands of years past when it was written, you're trying to figure it out within your own context. So when we open up the Bible today, we read it. It's an ancient document. And you're asking yourself, how do I live this out in my own context? Now, these Jewish people at the time of Jesus were doing that with the Old Testament. Because for them, the laws of the Torah and the writings of Moses were now at least 1,000 years before them. And they're trying to figure this out. And so there was this thing called like the oral law that started to be developed. And what I mean by oral law is that we have the written law, which is the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. They would open it up and they'd read the writings of Moses. But the oral law was the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders trying to talk and decide, how do we do this now within our context? And so in many ways, it was like commentary on the Old Testament. And they're asking themselves, how do we walk out this Sabbath? How do we live these laws? And they were making up all sorts of new rules to try to live it out. And this is called the Mishnah. You ever heard of the Mishnah? The Mishnah is the oral law of Judaism that was basically collected of like rabbis' teachings from about like 400 BC right up until about 200 AD. And in 200 AD, they wrote it all out. And Jewish people follow the Mishnah today. In the midst of them doing this, the Jewish people, and especially the religious leaders of the day, kind of ended up missing the point. They forgot the intention and the spirit of the teachings of Moses. And all they could see was the command. How do we obey the command? And in the middle of this, they missed the intention of it. And I give you all that background to come to Jesus and to understand what Jesus is up against and to understand what Jesus is doing when you read the New Testament. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Jesus went into the synagogue again, and he noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand and it was restored. Can you imagine that? His hand is crippled. He hasn't been able to use it. And it's restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Can you imagine this? You're supposed to read this and to be shocked. What is wrong with these people? Jesus shows up on the scene and there's someone who hasn't been able to use their hand for who knows how long, maybe from birth. It's crippled. It's deformed. And Jesus comes up in a loving way and he heals the man instantly. But all they can see is that he's doing it on the Sabbath. And as they've sat around for the last 400 years and writing out all the rules, they've distilled the idea that what Moses is talking about is that even doing something like healing is work. And you can't do it. Because God is against it. And so even though Jesus is doing something wonderful and he's bringing life to someone's life, all they can see is Jesus is breaking the rules. Have you ever known anybody like that? Where all they see is the rule being broken and they can't see the person in the middle of it. Their interpretation misses the intention of the law. And we see this over and over and over again in the biographies of Jesus. Let me take you to another story. Matthew chapter 12. At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off heads of grain and eating them. But some Pharisees saw them do it and protested, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." I'm going to pause there. This one's not as bad, right? I mean, Jesus isn't healing somebody. But it's a Sabbath day. They're enjoying the day. They're relaxing. They're walking along the road, and there's rows of grain fields. Have you ever walked along in grain fields? It's just beautiful. And they're plucking heads of the grain, and you're taking a head of like wheat. If you've ever been in Saskatchewan, Alberta, you kind of rub it together, and the kernels fall out. And they're chewing on the kernels. And the Pharisees see what they're doing, and they're like, "You guys are harvesting. That is work. You guys are breaking the rules." Because they weren't supposed to harvest. They were so intent on making sure that they followed the rules that they had made all sorts of extra rules. You can imagine God is sitting up in heaven. He's watching this all down. He's like, "Oh man, you guys are totally missing the point. And that's why I need to send Jesus." He needs to show you what it's all about. So in verse 3, it says, Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went to the house of God, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat." So what's Jesus talking about here? So the nation of Israel, they have this tent called the tabernacle. And this tabernacle is where they would say, this is where God resides. And they would go into the tabernacle to worship him. They'd go in the tabernacle to do sacrifices. And the priests would take care of that. And there would always be this thing called the bread of presence in the tabernacle. And only the priests at the end of the week were allowed to eat it. Who knows what it'd be like at the end of the week? Doesn't sound fresh. But it was for the priests. And Jesus is telling a story from 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David, before he is king, is on the run because the king at that time is Saul, and he wants to kill David because David's a threat to Saul. And so King David, he's not a king yet, sorry, he's on the run from Saul. And he ends up at the tabernacle, and he's hungry, and his buddies are hungry. And he goes to the high priest, and he's like, "Man, do you guys have any food for us?" And the high priest is like, "Man, I don't have any food, but I do have this like bread here in the tabernacle. I'm not supposed to give it to you, but here you go." And so the priest ends up breaking the law because he's not supposed to give it to somebody other than a priest who's supposed to eat it. Jesus quotes this story, and he quotes the story because he's trying to point out to these religious leaders that the human need over here, David's human need, was greater than this rule that was over here. Yes, God created this law that like this bread in the tabernacle was for the priests. But there's a situation over here where someone hasn't eaten for a really, really long time and there's no other food and it's going to be given to him and it's okay. Because the heart of these rules and these laws that God had created was for human flourishing. That is the point. Verse 5, I'm going to continue. It says, Jesus continues and he says, "Haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath?" He's pointing out something that like, there's this law that like, no one's supposed to work. But look at these priests over there. They're working on the Sabbath. What's going on here? Verse 6, he says, "I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple." Now, this is the big one, guys. Jesus has this conversation with these religious leaders, and he says, look at these examples of the Old Testament that they're kind of breaking the rules, even though they're not breaking the rules. You guys are missing the point. I need to reinterpret this for you. But something greater that you're missing is the one who's standing here with you right now. And the temple is really, really important to you. Your whole religious life is focused on the temple, but I'm greater than the temple. Do you know how shocking this is? It's shocking because people go to the temple. Why? Because the presence of God resides in the temple. People go to the temple, why? They go to the temple because they're going to do sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sins. The temple is like the greatest thing for them. And here's some random rabbi walking around, breaking the rules, healing people, and now he has the gall to say, yeah, I'm greater than the temple. Either Jesus is crazy or he's onto something here, right? Jesus is greater than the temple because the presence of God resides in Jesus. He's like, you guys have been going to the temple for thousands of years to be able to encounter the presence of God. But when you encounter me, you're encountering the presence of God. You guys have been going to the temple for thousands of years to sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. And then just, he doesn't say this to them, but just in a little while, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die on the cross, the greatest sacrifice that the world has ever seen for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus is greater than any religious rule. He's greater than any temple. He's greater than anything they've ever seen up until this point. And then he says in verse 7, he says, but you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Let me break that down here. If you knew this scripture, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. He's quoting the prophet Hosea there. Now, if you know the context of the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament lives in like the 7th, 8th century BC. Okay, this is 800, 700 years before Jesus. This is before the nation of Israel has been taken into exile to either Babylon or Assyria. He's a prophet to the northern kingdom. And it's during a time when the northern kingdom of Israel is very wealthy and prosperous. They're doing well financially, but there's moral decay within the society. They're not following God, and they're okay with not following God because everything is good. The money is rolling in. They have their properties. They have their stuff. And they're all good. And this is what Hosea says. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. He says, I want you to show love / mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. God is speaking through the prophet Hosea, and he says, like, you guys are going through your religious rituals. You're going to church. You're doing all the sacrifices. You're giving. You're doing all this stuff. But the reality is that I know that it's just kind of like you're doing it out of rote memorization. I want to see it lived out in your life. Because the people of the northern kingdom of Israel, they weren't living it out at all. Hosea talks about how they're oppressing people, how they're oppressing people who are more poor than them. He says, man, I want you to show mercy to those who have less than you. I want you to know me and my heart more than like all your religious finagling that you're doing. Don't you like that word, finagling? Can you find that in the dictionary? I don't know. But you see the heart of God through Hosea, and Jesus is quoting this. He's like, man, you guys are trying to obey all the rules, and yet your hearts are hard. Your hearts are hard. And then Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. So first Jesus says something greater than the temple is here. And then he like cuts to the core of like who they see themselves as, their identity in terms of obeying the law. I have an identity as an Israelite. We follow the Torah. All that stuff is really, really, really important. and we'd never break it. And Jesus is like, yeah, I'm the Lord over that. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, if you're trying to understand the Sabbath, if you're trying to understand the Old Testament, you're actually going to interpret it through me. I'm going to be able to interpret it. Jesus saying, I'm going to be able to adjust it. I'm going to be able to clarify it. I'm going to reinterpret it for you. I'm going to clarify it for you. I'm going to adjust it because I'm greater than that. What, Jesus? Are you telling me that you're greater than Moses, who gave us all these like laws, who met with God on Mount Sinai, who came down from the mountain and his face was glowing with the presence of God? It was glowing so much they had to wear a veil over his face because we couldn't look at him. You're telling me that you're greater than the man who met with God in the tabernacle face to face when no one else could. You're telling me that you're greater than the one who spoke to God face to face when no one else could. You're greater than him. Yes. Yes. Because before Moses was, before Abraham was, I am. I am. You can imagine, you can understand why the religious leaders want to kill Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is during the Sermon on the Mount. And the religious leaders are so concerned with Jesus, but he says this, "Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." It's through Jesus that we can truly understand the Old Testament. He accomplishes the purpose of the Old Testament so many ways. There's so much foreshadowing in the Old Testament that is going to be reflected in Jesus' ultimate death and sacrifice on the cross. But not just that, it's through Jesus that we read all the different Old Testament laws and we can understand their point and their purpose and their human flourishing point through the eyes of Jesus. D.A. Carson says this in his commentary. He says, "Jesus upholds the law's authority, but also reinterprets it through his own authority. He is the lens through which the Old Testament must now be read." So if you're a follower of Jesus, we reinterpret, we understand the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus. Through the lens of Jesus. So Jesus doesn't dismiss the Sabbath. He doesn't dismiss the Old Testament law. He's not trying to abolish it. He's not trying to erase it. But he's reinterpreting it. And when you watch Jesus operate on the Sabbath, what he's trying to communicate is, this is how you live out the Sabbath for our human flourishing. For our human flourishing. So Pastor Nathan talked a little bit about Sabbath last week. I've talked about it a little bit this week. And different people honor it in different ways. You know, for some people, they take it really, really seriously. And they observe it from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And they do no work, and they honor God in that time. And you can follow that really, really strictly and still miss the point. The Sabbath instruction ultimately was to give us life, made to encourage us to slow down, to find rest. Not the rest the world gives. The kind of rest that refreshes our soul. Jesus' heart all along reflects the heart of God. And so when we read the commands of Jesus, when we read the commands of the Old Testament, and we can read it through the lens of Jesus, we can understand That it's not about trying to hold to a hard and fast rule, but it's trying to understand the heart of God for us, that he desires for us to flourish. And this can extend to so many areas of the Bible where you're trying to understand the heart of God. And sometimes we don't get it. And sometimes we want to push back on it. But oftentimes God is saying, I've asked you to do this, that, and the other because I care about your flourishing. And I want you to do well.